بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 31st hadith from the compilation Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyyah. And it is the hadith which has been narrated by Sa'd ibn Sahal radiyallahu anhuma. An Abil Abbas, Sa'd ibn Sahal al-Sa'di radiyallahu anhu qal, Ja'a rajulun ila al-Nabiyy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqal, Ya Rasulallah, dullani ala amalin, idha amiltuhu ahabbani Allah wa ahabbani al-Nas. Faqal, izhad fi al-Dunya yuhibbak Allah. وَزْهَدْ فِي مَا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ يُحِبَّكَ النَّاسِ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ رَوَاهُ ابْنُ مَاجَهُ وَغَيْرُهُ بِأَسَانِيدْ حَسَنَةٌ. This hadith has been narrated by the virtuous companion Abu al-Abbas Sa'd ibn Sahal al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu. He said, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, dullani ala amal, inform me or guide me to an action. Idha amiltuhu ahabbani Allah wa ahabbani al-Nas, that if I do this action, Allah will love me and the people will love me. Show me an action that if I do this action, Allah will love me and also the people will love me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, he said, izhad fi dunya yuhibbak Allah, that have a zuhd with regards to the dunya and Allah will love you. Meaning discern yourself from the dunya and Allah will love you. Wazhad fi ma inda nas yuhibbak nas, and discern yourself from what the people possess and the people will love you. He said, hadithun hasan, collected by Ibn Majah and others. And as usual, this hadith will be explained in four stages. Firstly, a brief biography of the narrator of the hadith. Secondly, the general meaning or the theme of the hadith. Thirdly, a detailed explanation of the hadith. And fourthly, some benefits which the ulama have deduced from this hadith. As for the narrator of the hadith, he is the companion Sa'd ibn Sahal. And he is Abu al-Abbas Sahal ibn Sa'd ibn Malik al-Khazraji al-Ansari al-Sa'idi. So he was a companion from the inhabitants of al-Madinah, from the Ansar. And his father, Sa'd ibn Malik, he was also a companion. And his father died during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is Sahabi ibn Sahabi. He is a companion, the son of a companion. And Sahal radiallahu anhu, he was born 5 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore he is considered to be from Sighar al-Sahaba. And Sighar al-Sahaba were a group of companions who were the younger companions, the children of the companions, who they themselves were companions. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Al-Madinah, Sahal was only 5 years old. And it has been narrated from the grandchild, the grandson of Sahal, Abdul Muhaymin, the son of Al-Abbas, the son of Sahal, i.e. the grandson. He said, an abihi an jaddi, he narrates from his father, from his grandfather. He said, kanismu sahlin حزنا, that the name of Sahal, initially it was حزن, which means regret or sadness. فغيره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he changed the name from حزن to سهل. The Arabs of old, of Quraysh, and at that time, they used to have a practice. And their practice was that they would name their sons with names which often didn't have good meanings. So they may name their son Kalb or Harb, which means war. Or they may name their son Stone or Worry, like this. And the reason why they should name their sons with these harsh names is because this was a psychological boost in wars. So when the enemy knew that the commander of the Quraysh, for example, his name is Kalb, or his name is Harb, or his name is Huzn, and names like this, that this would give them an advantage. And often it is said that they would name their slaves with soft, gentle names, and they would name their sons with these hard or coarse names. Because the slaves or the servants, they are serving the Quraysh in their houses, and they want to call them with gentle names. And as for the sons, then they are at war in the armies. So often they should give them these difficult names. However, the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was any name which contained shirk or which contained a tazkiyah, an overt amount of tazkiyah, or it contained a bad meaning or a bad connotation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would change such a name to a better name. So for example, at that time, the name Abdush Shams, the worshipper, the slave of the sun, this was common. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would change this name to Abdurrahman or Abdullah or another Islamic name. And similarly, this name Al-Huzn, sadness or anguish and worry, because it has a bad connotation or a pessimistic connotation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed it to something which was better and optimistic. And so he called him Sahal. And the meaning of Sahal is easy. Somebody whose life is going to be easy. And this companion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extended his life for a long time after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is mentioned that he was the last companion to die in Al-Madinah. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last companion to die, it has been mentioned, was Sahal ibn Sa'ad. And this was 88 Hijri. And in this hadith, he narrates that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he requested from him some guidance. And the guidance which he wants from the Prophet leads to the success of this life and the hereafter. This man wants to know of an action, and this action, through this action, he will attain the happiness of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, and the pleasure of the people. So if a person attains the pleasure of Allah, then he is successful in the akhirah. And if a person attains the pleasure of the people, the society, the community, then he is successful in the dunya. So whatever the answer is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's going to involve success in the hereafter and also success in this dunya. And this is the objective of every Muslim. Every Muslim wants to be respected and beloved to the people, and before that, respected or beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, every single human being, their main objective is to be accepted by society. Or we can say their main objective is happiness. And one of the measurements of happiness is how much people like you. And this is the objective, which is the same for every single person, regardless of race, religion, color, skin, skills, tastes, academia, whatever the background of a person is, every single person on the face of this earth agrees upon one objective, and that is they want happiness. And one of the measures of this happiness is being respected and beloved to the people. So nobody says that my objective in life is I don't want to be respected by the people. No. Every person wants to be respected and beloved by the people. Every single person intends happiness. Now, how people find happiness, this is where they differ. So the Muslims, they also want to attain happiness, but through Islam, through obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Some people, they find happiness through philanthropy, charitable actions, or a career, which brings self-contentment, or which is fulfilling to a person's self. Other people, through how they dress. Other people, through the cars which they drive. Other people, through drugs, and fahisha, and disobedience. But the point is that the final objective of every person is what? Is wanting happiness. And the Muslim is different, because the Muslim not only wants happiness and being accepted by the people, but on top of this, being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muslim doesn't give precedence to the pleasure of the people over the pleasure of Allah. So Muslim also wants for the people to respect him and to be happy with him. However, if it's going to involve displeasing Allah, then we don't want to do that. We rather please Allah even if the people are displeased. And for this reason, this man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, "Yuhibbani Allah wa yuhibbani an-nas." That tell me of an action by which Allah will love me and the people will love me. And notice how he mentioned the love of Allah before the love of the people. And Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, "Man iltamasa ridallah bi sakhatin nas." Whoever seeks the pleasure of Allah, even if the people become angry. The Prophet said, "Radiyallahu anhu wa arda an-nas an." Then Allah will become pleased with this person, and Allah will make the people pleased with him as well. وَمَنْ إِلْتَمَسَ رِضَ النَّاسِ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ. However, a person who seeks the pleasure of the people, even if it makes Allah angry, the Prophet said, سَخَطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah becomes angry with this person. وَأَسْخَطَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And Allah makes the people angry with such a person as well. So, if a person wants for the people to be happy with him and to love him, then he should aim to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through righteous deeds. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who have iman and they do righteous deeds, He said, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا. Allah will make for this person wood. And the meaning of wood is love and pleasure, al-mahabba. The one who has iman and does righteous deeds, Allah will create in the people love and affection towards this person. However, this doesn't mean that if a person worships Allah and he obeys him, that every person is going to love this person. Not every person. Rather, the meaning of the people will love him, i.e. the people of goodness, the people of piety and righteousness. And for this reason, in the tafsir of this ayah in Surah Maryam, Qatada radiallahu an, he said, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا. That the Most Merciful will place wood, love and affection for this person.
He said, "Fi qulubi ahlil iman," in the hearts of the people of iman. And Ibn Kathir rahimullah said in the tafsir of this ayah, he said, "Yakhbaru ta'ala annahu yaghrisu li'ibadihi al-mu'minin alladhina ya'maluna as-salihat." That Allah mentions in this ayah that those people from the believers who do righteous deeds, يَغْرِسُ لَهُمْ فِي قُلُوبِ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَوَدَّةٌ, that Allah places in the hearts of the other righteous people مَوَدَّةٌ, love and respect and affection for such a person. So just because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever pleases Allah, even if the people become angry, Allah will make the people happy with him. The word people, it doesn't mean every single person. And this is because people around us, they have ulterior motives. And other people, their hearts have been hardened and their minds are corrupt. So if this person had a clean heart without any ulterior motives, then they would love this person who is worshipping Allah, who has good manners, who has taqwa and piety. But when the hearts are corrupted and the minds are polluted, then of course how they view the people is also corrupted. So the one who pleases Allah, even if other people are displeased with him, Allah places in the hearts of the righteous people love for such a person. And Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimullah, he has a famous saying which the ulama often mention. Yunus ibn Abd al-A'la, he said, قال لي الشافعي رحمه الله, Al-Shafi'i said to me, may Allah have mercy upon him, يا أبا موسى أو أبو موسى رضا الناس غاية لا تدرك, that the pleasure of all the people is an objective which can never be fulfilled. If you think that by doing an action everybody is going to be happy with you, then this is impossible. Whatever action you do, there will be some faction of society who will criticize you. You give charity, somebody is going to criticize you. You don't give charity, somebody else is going to criticize you. You're gentle with people, somebody is going to criticize you. You're not harsh enough. You're harsh with the people, others are going to criticize you that you're not gentle enough. So whatever you do, somebody will criticize you. And therefore, trying to do an action which pleases everybody, غَايَةٌ لَا تُدْرَكْ, is an objective which can never ever be attained. He said, لَيْسَ إِلَى السَّلَامَةِ مِنَ النَّاسِ سَبِيلٌ, that there is no way or no path for a person to be safe from the criticism of every person. Like I said, any action which you do, some people might praise you, but there will also be other people who will be critical of you. So trying to please everybody and be safe from everybody's criticism is something which is not attainable. So he said, I al-Shafi'i, he said, فَانْظُرْ مَا فِيهِ صَلَاحُ نَفْسِكَ فَالْزَمْ, so look into what rectifies your own self and then hold firm to this. وَدَعِ النَّاسِ, and ignore the people. وَمَا هُمْ فِيهِ, and that which they are in. Meaning a person, in his actions, he should intend the happiness of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, and the rectification of his own self. This is what you should try to attain. As for trying to attain the happiness of the people, then you will never be able to attain this. So, as long as Allah is pleased with you, then go on your way and do the best which you can do. And then leave the people. Some of them will be happy and some of them will be critical. And as for the detailed meaning of this hadith, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The narrator Abu al-Abbas, he didn't say who is this man. He didn't mention the name of the man or where he came from or matters of his private life, because these matters are not important. The only thing which is important is what was the question he asked the Prophet and what was the guidance of the Prophet to him. And he said, دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ أَحَبَّنِيَ اللَّهُ وَأَحَبَّنِيَ النَّاسِ. O Messenger of Allah, guide me to an action. If I do this action, Allah will love me and the people will love me. Through this action, I will attain the love of Allah and the love of the people. Two great things. I attain the love of Allah, so I am successful in the Akhirah. I attain the love and the respect of the people, and so I am successful in the dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ, he replied to him with something which is very profound and concise. He said, Izhad fi dunya yuhibbak Allah. Have zuhad in the dunya and Allah will love you. And the meaning of a zuhud is turn away from materialism and Allah will love you. Turn away from everything which does not benefit you in the Akhirah and Allah will love you. So the meaning of a zuhud here is al-i'rad anhu lihtiqarihi, is for a person to turn away from something because that thing is of no value to him. So it's as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to him that don't value materialism too much. Turn away from it, don't focus on it too much, because you have a higher ambition, and that ambition is the Akhirah. And if you have this outlook in life, then Allah will love you. The Arabs, they say, شَيْءٌ زَهِيد أي قَلِيلٌ حَقِير, that something is zahid, meaning something is belittle in your eyes, not worthy in your eyes. And there are two terms which are often mentioned and they have a similar meaning. And they are al-wara' and al-zuhud. And often these two terms, they are used with meanings which are interchangeable. Sometimes people say al-zuhud and sometimes people say al-wara'. And there's a difference between both these terms. Al-Shaykh ibn Uthameen rahimahullah, he said, al-wara' tarku ma yadurru min umuri dunya, is for a person to abandon something which is harmful to him in this dunya. This is the meaning of al-wara', abandoning something, leaving something which is harmful to you in this dunya. So for example, it is from al-wara' that a person doesn't eat foods which are unhealthy in excessive amounts. This is al-wara', because if you abandon these foods, or if you eat these foods excessively, they're going to harm you. So leaving something from the dunya which brings harm to you, this is called al-wara'. As for al-zuhud, it's a higher level, and it is tark ma la yanfa' fil akhirah, is to abandon something which doesn't benefit you in the akhirah. So al-wara' is leaving something which harms you in the dunya. Al-zuhud is leaving something which does not benefit you in the akhirah. Meaning there may be an action which neither harms you nor benefits you in this dunya, but you leave it because it has no benefit for you in the akhirah. As for al-wara', it is leaving something which harms in this dunya. So which of them is better? Al-zuhud. Al-zuhud is a higher level than al-wara'. Zuhud is leaving something which may benefit you in the dunya, but because it doesn't benefit you in the akhirah, then you abandon it. Whereas al-wara', the objective behind leaving it is just the dunya. Is it harmful to me in the dunya? And this message of al-zuhud in the dunya, not focusing on the materialistic matters and not having a high ambition when it comes to materialism, and that this materialism, it doesn't have a big place in your heart or a big desire in your heart. This is something which is mentioned in many ayat in the Quran. For example, Allah said, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Allah said that you prefer the life of this world, however the akhirah is better and eternal. And Allah said in the Quran, تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا, you want the desires of this dunya. And then he said, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ, however Allah wants the hereafter. And he said, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, that is the life of the akhirah, the abode of the akhirah. نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ, we make it for those people who do not want عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ, any authority in this dunya. And he said, وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, the people, they are delighted with the life of this dunya. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ, and as for the life of this dunya, it is only a temporary form of enjoyment. And Allah said, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ, say, the enjoyment of this dunya, it is only a little. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى, and the hereafter is better for the one who is pious. Meaning, the enjoyment of the hereafter is much greater than the enjoyment of the dunya. So if a person finds a lot of enjoyment in this dunya, in terms of what he eats, or the clothes which he wears, or the spouse which he has, or the house which he is living in, then Allah says, whatever happiness you are finding in this dunya, if you have a taqwa, then the happiness of the hereafter is much, much greater. So therefore have a zuhud. Don't be focused on the dunya. Belittle the dunya. Focus on the akhirah. And it is important to understand what is the true meaning of a zuhud. A zuhud isn't the quality of clothes that a person wears or doesn't wear, or the quality of food that a person eats or doesn't eat, or the type of car which a person is driving. None of this is linked to a zuhud. Rather, a zuhud is that which is in the heart. So when the ulama talk about a zuhud, they're not talking about what the hand possesses. They are talking about what's in the heart. So a person may be very rich and drive a very nice car and wear very expensive clothes, and yet it can still be said regarding him he's zahid. Why? Because in the heart, none of these things are of value to him. He can afford them, so he wears them and he drives the car and he eats that food. But as for in his heart, these matters have no value to him. So therefore a zuhud is that which is in the heart, not that which the hand possesses. And for this reason, the Salaf, they have statements which carry this meaning. So some of them, they said that a zahid, he is, أَنْ يَكُونَ مَا فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَقُ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ مِمَّا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ, that a zuhud is knowing in your heart that which Allah possesses is far greater than that which the people possess. وَتَشْكُرُ اللَّهِ فِي مَا أَسَرَّكَ وَأَصَابَكَ, and that you remain in the shukr of Allah whether you are given a blessing or you are afflicted by a calamity. وَلَا تَغْبَطُ النَّاسِ فِي مَا أَعْطَاهُمَ اللَّهِ, and that you are not envious over the people over that which Allah has given them. This is a zuhud. A zuhud is that in your heart, that which Allah possesses is more beloved to you than that which the people possess. So you may find two people. One person doesn't have a lot of money, and therefore the car he drives and the food he eats and the house which he lives in, the clothes he wears are of a low standard according to what he can afford. And another person, Allah has given him a lot of wealth. Therefore, he drives a very nice car and lives in a very nice house. Yet both of them have a zuhud, because in their heart, they are the same. So this person has the money Therefore, he drives that car. But is that car of any value to him? No. He may drive a car which is much cheaper. It doesn't matter to him. And this is important because sometimes a person sees one of the scholars, a major scholar in Imam, and this scholar, he is like a millionaire, lives in a mansion, has a driver and a maid at home, wears the finest clothes and has the most fragrant perfumes. And then this scholar talks about a zuhd, simplicity in the dunya. And so the listener, because of a lack of knowledge, belittles this scholar. How can this scholar speak about a zuhd, and yet he drives this car, and he has this house, and he wears these clothes? And this is because the person hasn't understood what is the meaning of a zuhd. So a zuhd is the state of the heart and where your ambitions lie, and not the clothes which you are wearing. And Ibn Rajab, he mentions in Jamil Ulum al-Hikam, he said, وَسُئِلَ بَعْضُهُمْ, that some of the ulama, they were asked, أَظُنُّهُ الْإِمَامْ أَحْمَدْ, I think it was Imam Ahmad who was asked, he says, عَمَّنْ مَعْهُ مَال, regarding a person who has money and wealth, هَلْ يَكُونُ زَاهِدًا, can this person be zahid, somebody who is wealthy, has a lot of money, can we say regarding him that he is zahid? And Al-Imam Ahmad said, إِنْ كَانَ لَا يَفْرَحُ بِزِيَادَتِهِ وَلَا يَحْزُنُ بِنَقْصِهِ, that if this person has wealth, but he doesn't care if it goes up or it goes down, then it can be said regarding him that he is zahid. And Sufyan al-Thawri said, الزُّهُدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا قِصَرُ الْأَمَلِ, that a zuhd in this dunya is not having lofty, worldly, materialistic ambitions. لَيْسَ بِأَكْلِ الْغَلِيظِ وَلَا بِلُبْسِ الْعَبَاءِ, zuhd is not a person eating food which is extremely basic or something which is not tasty. And neither is zuhd a person wearing clothes which are coarse and harsh. Rather, zuhd is, where is your ambition? Is your ambition in the dunya or is your ambition in the akhirah? And Ibn Rajab mentions the dua of some of the scholars. He said, وَكَانَ مِن دُعَائِهِمْ, that some of them, they will make the dua, اللَّهُمَّ زَهِدْنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَوَسِّعْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْهَا, they will say, oh Allah, give us the zuhd of this dunya, وَوَسِّعْنَا عَلَيْنَا مِنْهَا, and give us plentiful of the dunya. Give us a lot of the dunya, but at the same time, give us zuhd from this dunya. Meaning, give us from this dunya, but don't make it worth anything in our hearts. Because every Muslim prefers wealth to poverty. Nobody wants poverty. Nobody wants hunger. Nobody wants the worst house. Every Muslim naturally wants wealth and education and stability and food and a nice house. So they would say, oh Allah, give us from this dunya, but at the same time, give us a zuhd. I mean, it isn't worth anything in our hearts. And they would say, وَلَا تَزْوِهَا عَنَّا فَتُرَغِّبَنَا فِيهَا, they said, oh Allah, don't hide anything from this dunya from us, such that then we start to desire it. Meaning, if a person is poor, what does his heart desire? Wealth. But if Allah makes a person rich, then in his heart he has no desire for it, because Allah has already given him this wealth. So they would say, oh Allah, give us zuhd in the dunya, but at the same time, give us something from the dunya. And oh Allah, don't keep this dunya away from us, so then our hearts become attached to the dunya and seeking after the dunya. But if you give us something from the dunya which is enough for us, then we don't need to go after it and focus on it. And this is al-fiqh. This is the understanding. Islam, it doesn't require from a person that he has to live a life of poverty and ignorance. Like some of the people think, some of the extreme Sufiya, they think that to be a zahid, to be a great wali, you have to wear clothes which are tattered, you have to go and abandon your house and your wives and go sleep on a tip of garbage for X amount of days. You have to stay away from luxury food for a long... This is not a zuhud. Rather, a zuhud is that which is in the heart. And how many amongst the Sahaba were people whom Allah had given wealth? Uthman ibn Affan, extremely wealthy. Abu Bakr, extremely wealthy. I think Abdurrahman ibn Auf, extremely wealthy. And then those who came after them, from the great Imams, Al-Imamu Abu Hanifa, extremely wealthy. In fact, those who came before them from the Prophets and the Messengers, Yusuf alayhi salam, extremely wealthy, a minister, a finance minister at that time. Musa alayhi salam lived in the house of Fir'aun, grew up in the house of Fir'aun. So there were Anbiya and Sahaba and Imams from the Salaf who were extremely rich. But were their hearts attached to the dunya? No. So this is where zuhud is. Zuhud is in the state of the heart and the focus of the heart, not what your hand possesses. And then the Prophet said, وَزْهَدْ فِي مَا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ يُحِبَّكَ النَّاسِ. And also, discern yourself from that which the people possess and the people will love you as well. I mean, don't go to the people asking them and being needy in front of them and wanting what they have. Because if you do this, they're going to belittle you. But if you feel independent from what the people have, then people will also respect you. And it is mentioned that a Bedouin man, he went to Iraq and he visited Al-Basra. And in Al-Basra was one of the great Imams of the Tabi'een called Al-Hasan. Al-Hasan Al-Basri, from the great scholars of the Tabi'een. So this Bedouin man, he said to the people of Basra, he said, Man sayyidu ahli hadhihi al-qariya. That who is the chief and the master and the best of the people of this city? Qalu al-Hasan. They said al-Hasan. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he is the chief and the master of this city. Qal, he asked them, Bima sadahum, according to what did Hasan achieve such a great status in this society? How has he become the master of this society? And Al-Hasan wasn't a rich person, a simple person, didn't have much in the dunya. Yet he was considered to be the Sayyid of the whole area, great city of Islam in Al-Iraq. This man asked them, how has he become the Sayyid of this city? They said, احتاج الناس إلى علمه واستغنى هو عن دنياهم. That people, they are in need of his knowledge. And as for him, he is free of the need of the dunya. People are coming to him, extending their hands to him, needing him for fatawa, looking towards him, because they are in need of this dunya. But he doesn't want anything from the dunya. He doesn't want anything from the worldly possessions. And so he's the Sayyid of this town. And then the benefits of this hadith. Firstly, from the benefits of this hadith is the focus of the Sahaba. How many ahadith have we studied just ourselves in this compilation when somebody comes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin yudkhiluni al-jannah. O Messenger of Allah, show me an action which enters me into Jannah. Yuba'idu ni min al-nar. It distances me away from the fire. Show me of an action. يُحِبَّنِي اللَّهِ. By it Allah will love me. So the focus of the Sahaba was in something which benefits them in the dunya and the akhirah. And then to act upon it. Not just mere questions. Whereas many people in our time today, they want to ask questions just for the sake of asking a question. And you see the same person, maybe over 5 years, for different scholars, and he's still asking the same question. He wants a fatwa from this one, then he wants an opinion from that one, then he wants to know the view of the third one, just for the sake of knowing. And maybe if, within these 5 years, if the ruling fits his desires, then he can implement it. The Sahaba know. They would ask the Prophet a question, so they can act upon it. And this is why this man said, دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ. Show me an action if I do this action. I want to implement this action. Also from the benefits of this hadith is the attribute of Allah, al-mahabbah. That we affirm for Allah the attribute of al-mahabbah. That Allah loves. And that the love of Allah is something which is real. However, this mahabbah is according to His majesty. And we don't compare the love of Allah to the love of creation. However, at the same time, we don't give a name to Allah, al-muhib. And this is one of the differences between the names and the attributes of Allah. So from every name of Allah, we can derive an attribute. But not from every attribute of Allah do we derive a name. So we believe that from the sifat of Allah is al-mahabbah. But we don't give Him the name al-muhib. But if we know a name of Allah, then from that we derive a sifa. Also, from the benefits of this hadith, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentions, that there is nothing wrong with a person wanting to be loved and respected by the people. This is something which is allowed in Islam. You want to be respected by the people and beloved to the people. This is something which is allowed in Islam. He said, سَوَاءً كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ أَوْ كُفَّارٌ. Whether those people are Muslims or non-Muslims, it's okay for a Muslim to have the desire inside him that I want to be loved by the non-Muslims. I want the non-Muslim to treat me well. I want the non-Muslim to be comfortable around me. I want them to respect me. And the evidence of this is a saying of Allah, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهِ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah said that Allah does not prevent you from those people who do not fight you over your religion, and neither do they exile you from your lands, that you show them goodness and you treat them with justice. And of course, whenever a person shows goodness to others and generosity to others and is fair and just with them, they will love him. So this ayah is regarding non-Muslims. As long as those non-Muslims are not fighting against you and your religion, and they are not exiling you from your lands, show goodness to them. And for this reason, it is allowed for a Muslim to give charity to non-Muslim charities. As long as they are not fighting you in your Islam, and neither do they exile you from your lands. However, that which is not allowed is for you to love them. This is the difference. It's okay for you to want the kuffar to love you and respect you. As for you as a Muslim, loving them because of their kuffar, then this is what is not allowed. So the Muslim, the obligation upon him is al-wala wal-bara lillah, wal-hub wal-bughd fillah. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is the virtue of az-zuhud. And we said az-zuhud, i.e. ascetism. Or focusing on the akhirah. Or that whatever you possess in the dunya, even if it is a lot, then it shouldn't have much value in your heart. Whether you have a lot or you have a little, then this doesn't matter too much to you. And as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he said, وَلَيْسَ الزُّهُدْ أَلَّا يَلْبِسَ الثِّيَابَ الْجَمِيلَةِ. That الزُّهُدْ doesn't mean that a person is not allowed to wear beautiful clothes. وَلَا يَرْكَبَ السِّيَارَاتِ الْفَخِمَةِ. And الزُّهُدْ doesn't mean that a person isn't allowed to ride a nice luxurious car. And الزُّهُدْ doesn't mean that a person has to eat bread without any meat or condiment with it. Or anything like this. وَلَكِنْ يَتَمَتَّعْ بِمَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Rather, a person should enjoy that which Allah has blessed him with. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبْ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Because Allah loves to see upon a person the effect of his blessings. So if Allah has blessed somebody with wealth, Allah loves to see the wealth upon that person. Allah has given you wealth. Spend your wealth upon yourself. Spend your wealth upon your children. Wear nice clothes. Live in a nice house. If this is something which Allah has given you, then use it and utilize it in halal. And for this reason, we find from the Sahaba that if, for example, meat came to them, or milk came to them, or food came to them, or clothing came to them, they never used to reject it and say, no, we're not going to eat this because this is a zuhud. Rather, they would eat and drink and they would wear. And the Prophet ﷺ, clothing would come to him as gift and he would wear it, or he would give it in charity. And meat and milk would come to the companions and they would eat and drink from it. But the main thing is what's in the heart. And as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he said, he gave a parable. He said, فَرُبَّ حَيَّةٍ تَحْتَ الْقَشِ, that sometimes there may be a mound of hay, but when you lift the mound of hay, you see a snake inside it. Meaning, sometimes you might see a person wearing the simplest of clothes, and you think this is the most azhadun nas. But if you remove this veil, inside you see a person who is corrupt and he desires the dunya. Or you may see a person who wears nice clothes, nice car, lives in a spacious house. But if you take all of this away, you see a person who is a person of taqwa and righteousness. And like the English say, never judge a book by its cover. So this is the meaning of a zuhud. Not what the hand possesses or what it doesn't possess, but where is the focus in the heart? Is it in the dunya or is it in the akhirah? From the benefits of this hadith is a zuhud is greater than al-wara'. And also from the benefits of this hadith is that through a zuhud, Allah loves a person. So a zuhud is an avenue to attaining the love of Allah. And also following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an avenue to attain the love of Allah. Because Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ, say, if you claim to love Allah, then follow me. I follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also from the benefits of this hadith is that if you want to be respected by the people and beloved to the people, be independent from the people. Don't show your need in front of the people. So be independent from that which they have. Be content with that which you have, and the people will love you. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.